fun to be here again. And without any further ado, I want to welcome to the mic a gentleman who will be producing and hosting his own show here in the future. And he's going to talk to us about something special he's been working on. So to the mic, Mr. Nick Papadopoulos, welcome.
Hello, Johnny. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, and thank you, actually, more importantly, for getting my last name correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it took me a long time to figure out how to say and spell Papadopoulos, so you got it right off the bat.
It's a great name, let me tell you.
Thank you.
It sounds all Greek.
It's Irish.
It's an Irish name, boy. A fine Irish name. And first of all, I want to thank you for coming on, and
yes.
I know that, you know, coming in to the city, a lot of people are busy and that, you know, it's hard for them to break away, but it's fun to be on national radio and
absolutely.
In this case, international radio.
Yes.
So I want to welcome all our friends. We have a lot of listeners in Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, Rome, Serbia, Moscow, all of you guys. I know you tune in and we love your emails. So keep listening. And so Nick, you know, you sent me a very interesting email, win-win, and
right.
and I think you can best describe it. And let's talk about what you do and why it's important.
Okay, that sounds good. So again, hi, I'm Nick Papadopoulos. A lot of people affectionately call me or refer to me as Coach Nick. So I do and deliver transformational and leadership topics. I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a facilitator, I'm an executive coach, and more importantly, I'm a disruptor. And I have another show, which again, we're talking about bringing here, called Dudes of Disruption. And it's really about disrupting your automatic way of being, your automatic way of doing, your automatic way of thinking. Because often when we get into this automatic way, we often take ourselves off the game or take ourselves off the court, right? And when we take ourselves off the court, we become disempowered, we become frustrated, we lose control, we actually become and lose our life, our energy. And so my show, my topics are always around, let's disrupt the status quo, not because it's wrong, but rather so that you get the opportunity to actually choose it with eyes wide open, choose it from an awakened place.
And why would that be important to someone if they say, hey, I got it down, I got a comfortable routine going?
I would say, awesome. And life is a journey of learning. Life is a journey of experiences. Life is always an opportunity to continue to bring your gift, to an opportunity to contribute. And so it's okay to be in your automatic. I think both individuals and teams of people at companies and even families and even communities can get in a very automatic way where they think, I have no other option. I've figured it out. I've landed. I've got the answer. Great that you do, and guess what? There's always another way. I have a saying, which is good isn't good enough. Not that good is bad, but rather good isn't good enough, because as human beings, for the folks who are watching and listening, you know that even when you're at the top of your game, you can always be more creative, more resourceful, more innovative. You can bring a different version of you and create something different. And you could apply that to politics, business, your personal life, everywhere and anywhere?
I would think so. I mean, to be more creative, to be have more ingenuity is, I think, everybody's goal, whether they're willing to put in the time or not.
Right.
That's another question. But
right.
that's certainly a lofty goal to have, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that everyone is committed to something. And the question is, as someone like myself who's a coach, who's a facilitator, who's a speaker, my role, even in relationships, in my personal relationships, my goal is always to find out what you, the individual, or you as a team at a company or as a group, what are you committed to? And I do believe that what great leaders do, and I don't mean great leaders just by title, just great leaders, people who want to make a difference in the world, what they get tapped into and get connected to is finding out and committing to finding out what people are committed to. We're all committed to something. And it's our job to find out what that is so that you can tap into it and then unleash that person.
That sounds very good. How is that done?
How is that done? There's lots of ways to do that. I think one of the ways is to first, you know, I think a starting point for an individual and even for a team is to always become self-aware. And the way to become self-aware is actually to tell on yourself, right? To be vulnerable enough and honest enough and to be courageous enough to say, you know what? I'm going to tell myself. I'm going to tell myself on what's working in my life, what's not working in my life. And by the way, again, you could apply this if you're running a business. A good leader in a business tells on themselves, right? They know what's gotten them to this point may not get them there tomorrow, right? And so they're willing to take a step back and say, okay, good isn't good enough. And so let me take inventory of actually what is working, what's not working, where I am, and then be willing to make a commitment to be different about it. I think that's actually a really big difference. Somebody, I run a men's group here in New York City. And one of the guys in my men's group once said, are you committed to being right or are you committed to being happy? Because when you're committed to being right, often you become righteous. You become judgmental. It causes separation. It causes arguments. It can even cause being alone because I'm just going to be right about what I'm going to be right about, even if it's damaging to me or damaging to you or to another group of people. And so I love that statement that one of the guys in my men's group once said, which is, are you committed to being right or you're committed to being happy? If you're committed to being happy, you will literally, and I mean literally, do whatever it takes to create a difference in your life or in the business that you're running. You will do whatever it takes to disrupt whatever you've been doing up until that point.
Yeah, well, I think that makes sense. And a lot of people, I think, who pursue their goals of, being able to find their own level of water,
right?
Do that. I mean, I know in my own life, my day job, I'm working all day in an office, and yet I still love to come to the radio station and broadcast,
right?
And play music. I'm a professional musician.
Okay. And when what do you play?
I play mandolin.
Okay.
That's the Johnny Mandolin title moniker from when I was a kid.
Okay.
Little Italy. And also I play jazz guitar. So I don't get a lot of time to do that, but I do that as much as I can.
There he is.
So there I is. So I tend to seek more the happiness than always being right. A lot of times I want to be right, but I like to be happy. And I think if I had to choose, I'd probably more pursue the happiness. At least I do here at City World Radio.
Right, right, exactly. And what I mean by being committed to being happy, being committed to being happy is obviously you define what happy is for you, right? I mean, happy is different for each of us. And when you're committed to being right, you're holding on tight. Your whole life is tight, right? You're holding on to your perspective. You're closed to other perspectives. It creates a separation. It creates judgment, actually, when you want to be right. And that in working with teams of people at companies and working individually with people, that is one of the things that is very common amongst folks, is that they want to be right about what they want to be right about, even if it costs them a relationship, even if it costs them a business deal, even if it causes separation. So it's pretty fascinating. So a lot of the work that I do is committed to having people become awakened, right? Awakened to you actually have other options. If you want to choose to do something different, or if you want to choose to be different, you actually have that ability. You can choose in any moment, in an intentional way and in a powerful, awakened way, to actually create something different.
Yeah, and I certainly can see that. I know that in any relationship, when you're talking with someone, if you discuss politics or religion or whatever, or you're talking to your wife or your
right.
significant other, and to be right can be costly.
Exactly. So I emailed you. I said one of the topics that I've been talking about lately is called win-win.
Yeah, we read that, and let's discuss that.
Yeah, and so I know win-win can sound a little woo-woo and very hippy-dippy and all that, and that's okay. That's cool. Win-win is a disruption. Again, I consider myself a disruptor. Win-win is a disruption on how we define winning in our country, in our culture, in our society. We define winning as domination, as crushing the opponent, maybe even embarrassing the opponent. Certainly, we define winning by winner and loser. And so it's a paradigm, right? It's a context that people work inside of. And I'm not making it wrong because that's how we're brought up in this country, okay? What I want to offer, the disruption that I want to offer, is that win-win actually has you be just as competitive and, in fact, could be even more competitive. So instead of defining winning as winners and losers, how about if people came together collectively and became crazy competitive about making a difference in our environment, making a difference in race equality, making a difference in education, making a difference in politics, making a difference in the water that we drink, making a difference in economic equality, right? Making a difference in having people feel like they matter, right? What if we came together and we actually got competitive about becoming the example to everyone? I mean, I believe the United States, at its best, when we've been at our best, we've been that beacon on the hill that Ronald Reagan once talked about. We are the example to the rest of the world, not dominating the rest of the world, not beating down the rest of the world. Instead, win-win is an inclusive mindset. It's a mindset that says everybody matters, everybody gets a vote, everybody gets to go, quote unquote. And together, let's go create innovation and breakthroughs and take new ground in all the important areas that actually are important to all of us, regardless of what your political beliefs are. In the win-win mindset, yes, maybe you are a Democrat, maybe you're a Republican, maybe you're a Bernie fan, maybe you're a Jill Stein fan, but the game that you're connected to is called, how do we change the world? So that's okay. I live in New York and you live on the West Coast, or you live on the West Side or the East Side or down South. That's okay. Just like in business, right? In business, you have your different departments. You have sales, you have marketing, you have operations, you have finance, you have different divisions. No problem. Let's remember the game that we're playing. The game that we're playing is to thrive in this world. The game that we're playing is to create a great and healthy and awesome world for us and for future generations. Can I share an example of what I mean?
Yeah, let's be specific.
Okay, so I'm going to use I have two different examples. One is sports related, which I know can often be a faux pas. Uh-huh. However, it's really not about sports. And then I have another business example.
Sure, that's great.
Okay. So let me give you the sports. You're familiar. You look about my age. You're a young man like myself. You remember the 1980 U.S. men's hockey team?
Well, you know, I'm not a sports fan, so okay. It doesn't ring a bell for me, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners do.
Okay, so in 1980, the U.S. men's hockey team won the gold medal. Now, back in 1980, we didn't have professionals playing. We had college kids, 21 and 22-year-olds. That's changed since 1980, okay? And in 1980, the U.S. Olympic hockey team was playing against the Russians, okay? The Russians were in their early to mid-30s. They had played together for several years. They had won multiple gold medals together. Some of them had played together for 10-plus years. They were grown men who had won consecutive gold medals against kids who were 21 and 22-year-olds. And by the way, these 21 and 22-year-olds despised each other. They hated each other. Why did they hate each other? They played for different colleges, right? One was playing for Boston College. One was playing for the University of Minnesota. You get the point, right? So they're playing for different colleges. And by the way, when the Olympics are over, they're going to compete for NHL jobs, the National Hockey League. Okay, and there's only a few. So here's a group of kids who hate each other, never played together before. In fact, they've competed against each other. They're about to go play against the Russian team that's won multiple gold medals. Now, in 1980, if you remember, Johnny, I'm sensitive to names.
No, either John or Johnny or hey you, whatever.
Hey you, okay. Well, I'm sensitive to names, you know, with a last name like Papadopoulos. So in 1980, things weren't so great. We weren't feeling so great as a nation. Right, the U.S.-Iran hostage crisis had just come to an end, where we felt pretty demoralized as a country. The Vietnam War had just ended in 75. The economy, it was a little funky, right? We were not feeling all that great as a country. The Cold War between Russia and the United States was at its height at that point, okay? So here you have a group of U.S. men's hockey guys playing for an Olympic that they don't really care for, right? And there's a movie that came out called Miracle on Ice that Kurt Russell plays. Kurt Russell plays the coach. And what you see in the movie is that at practice after practice, the coach at the end of the practice would say, he'd go around to the room and say, hey, what team do you play on? And one player would say, I play for Boston College. What team do you play on? University of Minnesota. What team do you play for? University of Michigan. And it wasn't until a disruptor, this is why I love disruptors, until one disruptor said, I play for the United States Olympic men's hockey team, when everything and anything changed. This is not an inspirational story. This is not a sports story. What he got connected to is that he was playing for something much, much bigger. He wasn't even playing for a gold medal. He was actually playing to save a nation's soul. Our soul had been battered as a nation. Much like you could say right now, our soul as a nation is definitely on thin ice, right? It's in a vulnerable place. And so what that team got in that moment when that one disruptor, when that one player said, I play for the United States of America, what he was saying is, I play win-win. We no longer have differences. Yes, you come from Michigan, and I come from Connecticut, and you come from San Diego. At the end of the day, the game that we're playing is America. We're playing for the soul of America. And if you recall, I know you said you're not a sports fan, but Al Michaels was announcing that game. He's famous for saying, with 10 seconds left, do you believe in miracles? Because it really was a miracle. And what I say is that it doesn't have to be a miracle, that we can apply that mindset of, I don't play for university in a particular geographic region, or I don't play for the sales department. I don't play for the Republicans or for the Democrats. I play for something much, much bigger. And when people connect to something much, much bigger, anything and everything is possible, again, in the areas that count most.
Well said. You look at a larger goal, a more lofty goal, and certainly something that's going to be able to elevate people's thinking to a higher level than just one competition or one single thing. And I think that when you look at taking the whole picture, both what we're doing now in the future, but also historically,
right.
Go back. I'm a big fan of history, and I like to go back and see what happened. Or like, this has never happened before. Oh, actually, yes, it has.
Yes,
several times.
Exactly.
You know, so when you look at history, it makes a difference.
Yeah. The other thing I want to say about win-win is that actually, when you play win-win, you actually get. People think that, oh, I'm playing for the higher good, the higher good, whatever that even is, right? That gets taken care of and I don't get taken care of. And what I'm saying actually is that when you take care of the bigger picture, when you take care of the bigger game, you're included inside of it. I have a mentor of mine. His name is Tom Zapolsky. He once said to me, love the relationship more than you love yourself. And he paused and he looked at me and he said, because you're included in the damn relationship. He's like, what part of that don't you get? When you're committed and you love the relationship more than you, you get taken care of. And that's a real disruption because often we have it, well, let me take care of me first, and then I'll take care of the relationship. Well, that hockey player got that I love the relationship called the American Dream more than I care about what university I play for or what job I'm going to get for, because in the end, I'm going to get all the accolades. In the end, a guy like me here right now on a Monday night on President's Day is talking about that team in 1980 and not talking about some other team in any other part of our history.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it kind of brings it more into focus that when you look at a situation like this, you have to kind of almost draw on outside influences, and you have to look at your world and, you know, and bring that into focus, because if you're just focused on your relationship, you're going to – if it's all about you, then it's not about anybody else.
Yes, right. And that's a very me-focused environment. When you're just focused on you, it's a pretty stingy game. It really is. It's a small game, actually. And by the way, people don't want to play with people who are just focused on them. And what I want to just keep emphasizing is that when you focus out, when you love the relationship more than yourself, you're included inside of that. I promise you, the universe will actually take care of you as well. Can I give a business example? Okay. Here's a business example of what I mean by win-win, or actually win-lose, because I think often in this country, often, not always, okay, but often we're playing a game of win-lose. So I have a client. This is a hospitality chain. They're a restaurant chain, and they sell food, right? And they also have an apparel where they sell clothing and, you know, T-shirts and hats and things like that. And so he decided to play a game, and the game was, I'm going to place a fork in the middle of the floor of my restaurant, 10 restaurants, 10 consecutive Saturdays, which is their busiest night, Saturdays. I'm going to place the fork in the middle of the floor in no man's land, far enough and close enough to the waiters and waitresses, far enough and close enough to the bartenders, far enough and close enough to the folks behind the counter selling the clothing, far enough and close enough to the managers and maitre d', right? You get the point. Sort of in that no man's land. And he said, I want to see if I place a fork in the middle of the floor, 10 consecutive Saturdays, 10 consecutive, 10 different locations, will people pick up the floor? So, Johnny, let me ask you before I give the punchline. How many times do you think somebody picked up the fork? 10 different locations, 10 Saturday nights. He puts the fork in the same spot, basically, in 10 different locations. How many times do you think somebody actually picked up the fork?
Maybe nobody.
Nobody. 0 for 10. Now, by the way, this particular restaurant chain is doing well. It's not that they're not doing well. You know, you asked the question earlier, what if I'm doing well? Do I need to actually disrupt anything? Well, of course you don't have to. And at the same time, I said earlier, good isn't good enough. And that's why the senior VP said, let me put the fork in the middle of the floor in no man's land, 10 straight Saturdays, 10 different locations, and see what happens, even though my locations are doing well. And in all 10 instances, nobody picked up the fork. Because the game they're playing is win-lose. Hey, it's not my job. It's not in my job description to pick up the fork. I'm the waiter and the waitress. I pick up forks and knives that are related to my tables. Hey, if I'm the bartender, that fork that's over 10 feet away from me, that's not my problem. And I think what people forget is that the game that they're playing, right? If I just use this restaurant chain, okay, and this may sound silly, but you can take this and apply this to anywhere in life. The game that these employees are playing at the restaurant is customer experience. It's about making people feel good. It's about making them feel good with the food, making them feel awesome because of the experience and the service that they get. So it doesn't matter if it's in your job description. If there's a fork on the floor, pick it up. And so for the people who are listening and watching, the fork doesn't have to literally be the fork on the floor of a restaurant. It's a metaphor. Where in your life are you walking past the fork and not picking it up? Or where in your life is there a fork that's looking at you, staring at you, and it's actually causing harm? It's causing damage because customers are saying, I don't want to go back to a place that's dirty. I don't want to go back to a place where I just slipped on the floor, right? I don't want to go back to a place where people actually are playing a me-focused game, me versus you or you versus me. People are not into that. They're not. Human beings at their best want to come together and do the right things. And the way to do the right things is to actually collectively, all of us go after that fork. Regardless if you're the bartender, waiter, the maitre d', in fact, actually, not only go for that fork, don't ever let it even get on the floor. And again, it's not about a fork. It's really a metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah, your point is well taken, and I know I've had a lot of instances where I've had people, either employees or just been somewhere, and people just go, well, that's not my job.
Right.
Or they don't even notice it. It's like, if I have to tell you to do something,
right,
then you miss the whole opportunity.
Exactly. But that's what I'm talking about when I say disrupting the automatic, is when people say it's not my job, that's the automatic that they're in. They're in this automatic called, you gave me a job description, and I then become blind. I then become right. That's what I meant earlier about sometimes we're committed to being right versus being happy. Because if I was to just open my eyes and become awakened and get on the court, if you will, job descriptions become irrelevant. Job descriptions are just made up. They can be made up in any moment, right? They're just made up. So the point is, what's the game that you're committed to playing? What's the game that you want to create? What's the legacy that you want to leave behind? Even if you're a waiter or waitress, even if you're just walking down the street, going from your work to your home or home to work, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want to leave people? Do you want to leave people better than when you found them? What's the experience that you're committed to?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, you're making a very good point. And like I said, if your attitude is it's not my job,
right,
or I don't notice, or I don't see that, or I can't help you, I know customer service in a lot of areas are at an all-time low,
right,
for that very reason.
Right. But it's playing out in our politics. It really is, actually. It's playing out in our politics because what's happening in politics is we're playing a game of win-lose, and even in some cases, lose-lose. It's I'm going to be right, and you're going to be wrong, or vice versa. I'm going to be right, and you're going to be wrong. And in fact, it's gotten to the point where I don't even want to listen to what you have to say. I'm just going to send you an article, and you're going to send me an article that we're going to both ignore, and then I'm going to send you a video that you're going to ignore, and you're going to send me a video you're going to ignore, and I'm going to go out and march down the street, and you're going to go down and march down the street. And no one is actually saying, what team do you actually play on?
Yeah.
What's the team that you're playing for? There's a fork in the middle of the floor. Can somebody pick it up before somebody gets hurt or before somebody says, I'm not coming back here?
Absolutely. Well, very well said. Well, you're listening to the Johnny Mandolin Show. We're halfway through our show right now. Take a little break, and we're going to come back with Coach Nick. We have a lot of really good stuff to talk about. Again, if you want to be part of the show, you know you can call in. The number's 212-631-7553, 212-631-7553, and you can talk to Nick on the show live. So we'll be right back. We're listening to the Johnny Mandolin Show on City World Radio Network. Yeah, we're happy here. We're talking about happiness, and we're talking about do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And we've got Nick Papadopoulos, Coach Nick here, and we were discussing on our last, right before our last break, we were talking about that factor and win-win, and pick it up.
Yeah, win-win. We were talking about how do we define winning, right? How do we define winning? And I think often in our culture, as I was saying earlier, Johnny, that winning is defined as winner-loser, that the winner actually is better and that they should actually be listened to, whereas the loser is a loser, right? That they have nothing to say, right? That their legacy has been ruined because they didn't win the championship or because they lost an election or whatever the case may be. And I think what would be more fascinating and more interesting is if we spent more time focusing less on the winning and the losing and more around the journey itself and what you can learn about yourself inside the journey. What things do you notice about yourself? What do you notice about what pops up for you? What shows up for you? What are the things that you get confronted? What are the things that spook you and make you scared? What are the things that turn you on and get you excited, right? If you were focused on the journey, I really believe regardless of the outcome, regardless if you won, quote unquote, or you lost, you would be fulfilled. You would be filled up. You would be unleashed because in every moment, if you looked at it that way, I think it's Nelson Mandela who said, I never lose. I either win or I learn. And I think in every opportunity there is, it's not just that every opportunity there's something to learn. It's like if you're playing a game, literally, like right now we're playing a game called On the Radio, and we want to have great ratings. Instead of focusing on the great ratings and getting more and more listeners to call in and to watch and to listen, let's just be present and connected to the journey, to the experience that we're in, because we can learn so much. And then I'll just say this as well, as you're learning about yourself and what's coming up for you, you can then share that with others and be in contribution. So when you're competing, even in a sports game, or you're competing in a political game, or you're competing on radio, instead of competing to win or lose, compete to learn. How much can you learn? And then how much can you give away to others? Because to me, that's the ultimate contribution, the ultimate give that you can give back to people in this world.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. giving is a big part of the entire experience of life. And, you know, we're in a very get, give me, give me
yes.
kind of society.
Yes. And, what's in it? What's in it for me?
Yeah. And it's not easy to be altruistic, but when you look at the larger picture, like I said, if it's not If you're saying that's not my job, you're
exactly.
missing on something, and that comes in relationships in life as well.
Yeah, exactly. And the that's not my job, by the way, does not only show up at your job. That shows up in your family dynamic at home. It shows up in your community. Hey, that's not my job. Let somebody else take care of that. Let somebody else go and speak up. It's not my job. I don't have time, right? So you create this separation when you're playing or you're operating inside of this mindset of win-lose. You know, you said something, Johnny, that just sparked something for me about contribution and the importance of contribution. Contribution is great for so many reasons, including the recipient who's receiving whatever contribution you're giving, right, or sharing. Is getting something, right? They're getting something. They're hopefully better off because you're contributing to them. What I also think is that, again, when you're contributing and you're outwardly focused, you learn a lot about yourself. You know, I mentioned earlier that I run a men's group here in New York City, and we do a lot of contribution work. We do contribution work at soup kitchens with, you know, with kids who have special needs. Et cetera, right? And what I notice is, you know, and I think everyone who's out there listening and watching could agree with this, when you're in that space of giving, not just when you're at a soup kitchen, but even giving when you're walking down the street and you smile at somebody, because that can be contribution, right? To actually smile at someone and make their day. You learn something about yourself. It goes back to this thing called when you're in the journey of life, when you're playing the game of life, if you are present enough, you will notice so much around you. If you open your eyes, there's so much to learn. And so when you're contributing, you could actually learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah, I think and those of us who are New Yorkers here, and I know we have listeners from all over, but you learn that real quickly in who is giving and who is not in on any morning in the subway.
Yes.
I mean, subway etiquette.
Yes.
Sometimes there is none.
Yes. No, I agree. You know, and I will say something. That thought has been disrupted for me because I have three small kids, 11, 7, and 3. And I take the kids to school a couple of times a week. And it's really fascinating to see people get up out of their chair. You know, we're usually on the train at about 7:30 a.m. You can tell people are tired. And again, what they're committed to is people being happy and them being happy. And so I am constantly amazed by New Yorkers every time I take the train because they're constantly getting up out of their seats. And again, I think what happens is by them being in contribution to me in that moment or to my kids, I know it's going to come back to them. Some people call that karma. I just call it what you put out is what you're going to get back. Listen, if what you're getting back from the world is caca, can I say caca? Yeah, okay. If what you're getting back is chaos and fights and anger and you know, push and pull, then that's what you're probably putting out there as well. And not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're not doing it consciously to be bad to other people, but that's the vibe that you're generating. That's the way of being that you're bringing. So the good news, Johnny, is that in any moment you can disrupt that and choose something different.
Absolutely. And I see it too. I see, you know, both good and bad on the subway is a perfect example. I know I'm always giving up a seat to an elderly person if I see them or a lady with a child, but I do that just because I feel that that's proper etiquette. Sometimes people don't. You know, I've seen three and four people sitting in a row and a person with a crutch right in front of them standing.
Right.
And I have spoken up and said, can one of you guys get up, please, and give this person a seat? And they're like, oh yeah, okay.
Right. Well, and I think when people don't get up, I think it actually causes it to domino effect because then people get upset. And now you have multiple people who are experiencing this person not getting up, or the person next to you watching the person not getting up. Now we're all walking around upset and saying, "Oh, look, there you go." They're typical New Yorkers, and now you have 3, 4, 5, 6 people who are now upset and walking around. I have a question on my Facebook page. Can I ask it out loud?
Absolutely.
It's from one of my friends who's a fellow disruptor, Gregory Neesmith. Hi, Gregory. Thank you for watching.
Hi,
and
Greg.
Listening.
Thanks for listening.
He says, here's his question. I think it's for both of us. There's a dude disrupting in the White House right now. What would you offer Trump as an automatic for him to explore disrupting if he was your client? Look at him put me on the darn hot seat, Johnny.
There you go. You're grilled.
I'm grilled.
Grilled in 44 countries here, broadcasting live.
You know what I would say to him if he was my client? I would say to him that I actually said it a few minutes ago. What he's getting from people, from a majority of the people, right? Let's call it even half the country, okay? What he's getting from half the country, what he's getting from many media outlets, what he's getting from people from around the world, both press and people, citizens, is exactly what he's putting out. So if he doesn't like what's being put out, then I have good news for you, Mr. President, on President's Day. Then tell on yourself. Telling yourself on who you have been being up until this moment that's created this environment, and choose a different way and lead by example. If you want to create unity and you want to create open-mindedness and you want to create inclusion, then be those ways. Speak those ways. Show up those ways. My experience working with leaders in companies and working with great fathers and great mothers in households and great activists in communities, the people who actually are okay with being wrong, the people who are okay with having people surrounding themselves with people who are just as smart or more smart than themselves, people who are willing to say, I didn't get this one right, those are the people who are displaying leadership skills. So that's what I would say to my client, in this case it would be the president, is to say it's okay not to be right. What is okay is to be committed, like I said, to unity, connection, love, inclusion, and be those ways. And a funny thing will happen. A funny thing happens, Johnny, is that when we choose to be different, then everybody around us starts to show up differently. I remember doing a workshop one time, and Gregory actually, who's a dear friend and a fellow disruptor, he's done the same workshop, so he'll know what I mean. I did this workshop. It was very transformational, very disruptive. It was all about disrupting your blind spots, right? And I walked out of the workshop, and I remember coming back and telling the facilitator, saying, everybody around me has changed. Everybody around me is so different. And he looked at me and he said, no, you're different because you changed your mind. You changed the world. By the way, that line came from Kinky Boots. I just saw Kinky Boots on Friday night, and I loved that line.
It's a good line. I've never seen the play.
Yeah,
they
said it was right at the end of the play, Kinky Boots. They said, change your mind and you change your world. And so, again, thank you, Gregory, for that question, which is Mr. Trump. But this goes for all of us because we're all leaders. We're all leaders in our lives, at home, in our businesses, in our community, everywhere, in the gym that we go and exercise. Change your mind. You change the world. And then people will follow. People are yearning for leadership that takes responsibility, yearning for leadership who takes ownership, where literally, as one of our old great presidents said, the buck stops here. The buck stops with
me.
Harry Truman. Thank you. Gregory says that would be refreshing to see that side of him. I think Gregory liked my answer.
And maybe we will. Maybe we will. We'll see. He's not been there long. Let's hope that we do see that. And, you know, you brought up an interesting thing, too. You were saying that surrounding yourself with people who are, I don't want to say better than you, but maybe more skilled or something, brings you up a level.
Right.
And, you know, I grew up in a musical family. My father's a jazz musician, and he played with some of the top jazz musicians in the world.
Right.
As I was a child growing up. And I became, I started playing music early, and I was lucky to always play with musicians who were much better than
yes.
me, because it was easy to find musicians who weren't as good, and I could be the best.
Yes.
But I always played with guys who were better than me,
yes.
and that brought me up a level.
Absolutely.
And I think in the world, when you're around people who you spot have something great, and you surround yourself with these great people, it brings you up.
Absolutely. And my friend Gregory will love this, because he's a basketball fanatic. I know he's watching the NBA All-Star game yesterday. When I was in seventh grade, okay, I got turned on to basketball. Okay, I wanted to play basketball like it was nobody's business. And up until seventh grade, which is a very old age, by the way, that's 12, 13 years old, I had not picked up a basketball. And I saw these kids in my school, and I said, I want to be like them. I want to be like Mike, like the old commercial used to say, right? And what I did is exactly what you did. I started to play with kids who were far superior than me. Far superior than me, because I realized I got it really early that if I wanted to accelerate my growth, if I wanted to accelerate my development, I had to learn, I had to watch, and more importantly, I had to experience what it was like to play against players that were of much higher caliber. And it's fascinating, because 2 years later, 2 years later, I'm starting. Right, I'm a starting point guard. I'm playing. I'm an all-star, and it's only because of my commitment. This goes back to being committed to being right or being committed to being happy. I was committed to being happy, which was I was pursuing a desire, in this case called I want to play basketball. And the pathway was by playing with people who were better than myself. And so again, to go back to Gregory's question from earlier, I believe as people, and it's not just exclusive for the president or for the president of your company or for the president of your co-op board at your building. If you want to be different, surround yourself with people who are committed to being different. Surround yourself with people who are committed to seeking the truth, because they will challenge you. And it's awesome to be challenged. I mean, that's the deliciousness of life, is learning. And one of the ways to learn is not just sitting in a room by yourself reading a book or reading an article. It's learning from each other and being challenged by others to say, hey, you're full of baloney. Or, hey, you keep talking about the same thing over and over again. When are you going to stop? And that's what's great about, I run a men's group, and it's what's great that happens inside of a men's group dynamic. Or when I'm coaching a client one-on-one, that's what happens, is you're surrounding yourself with people who want to be different.
That's great. That's really, really good. Listeners, I have to tell you, this is an enjoyable program for me, and I really like having Nick here. It's a lot of fun. So, Nick, tell our listeners, how can they get in touch with you? How can they find your website? Are you on Facebook?
Sure, absolutely.
How do they find you?
Thank you. And thank you, Johnny, for having me here tonight, and thank you, Jade, the lovely engineer. So I have a radio show podcast called Dudes of Disruption. You can find the Dudes of Disruption on Podomatic and also on iTunes. It ranks in the top. Right now it's ranked number 16 on Podomatic in the self-help category. Often you'll find it in the top 10 as well. I'm on Facebook. You can find the Dudes of Disruption on Facebook, Instagram, and also on Twitter. You can email me. Can I give my email address out?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, good. Johnny says absolutely.
Absolutely. I insist.
You insist. So I make it simple for people. It's coachnick@coachnick.com. Coachnick@coachnick.com is the easiest way to get
me. It's pretty simple.
Pretty simple. Absolutely.
And you have a website too, a www?
I do not have a website, but you can find me, as I said, Dudes of Disruption, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I think that's wonderful. Well, Nick, first of all, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Most important question of the night, will you come back?
Absolutely.
It's a deal.
This is a great place.
We're having a lot of fun here. Well, I want to thank you for listening to the Johnny Mandolin Show. It's always a blast. We have a good time. Thanks to Jade, our engineer, who is marvelous on the board. And I want to remind you to write to us at cityworldradio@aol.com and let us know what you think.